Good morning. I want to greet each one in Christ's name this morning. Happy to be here and thankful for what Jesus has done for us. And I want to welcome everyone here too this morning. It's a nice morning, a beautiful little snowstorm, and just felt good to see the snow coming down and all that. And I really agree with devotions we shared this morning about being deceived, and thankful that we don't have to be deceived, and that if we love truth, we can stay on the straight and narrow. We can stay focused on being where God wants us to be. And the points that Ted brought out about being when we're deceived, it's because we're either being rebellious or we are just maybe wanting to serve ourselves. Or I believe sometimes it can happen innocently too, but we don't love the truth properly then. Anyhow, I appreciate all those thoughts, and though they were very uplifting and want to, I'm not sure that they tie in exactly with the message I have to share this morning, but pray that God can do that. The message I want to share this morning is about, in some ways, it's mostly about prayer, but yet I want to speak about more praying with power and patience. And some ways I wished I could think of little better words, but yet I think that might come close. You know, we need to be reminded that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person is effective. Like it says in James 5:16, it says the very thing, that it availeth much. And someone asked me recently why it seems like there isn't power in prayer like there should be among Christians. And I have a little poem here I just want to share, and this might explain some of the reason, maybe not all of it. But this poem doesn't say who wrote it or whatever. I just picked this up. It says, I knelt to pray, but not for long. I had too much to do. I had to hurry and get to work, for bills would soon be due. So I knelt and said a hurried prayer and jumped up off my knees. My Christian duty was now done. My soul could rest at ease. All day long I had no time to spread a word of cheer. No time to speak of Christ to friends. They laughed at me, I'd fear. No time, too much to do. That was my constant cry. No time to give it to souls in need. But at last the time to die. I went before the Lord, I came. I stood with downcast eyes. For in his hands God held a book. It was a book of life. God looked into his book and said, your name I cannot find. I once was going to write it down, but I never found the time. And, you know, that just, I don't want to say that that's the exact reason that there is no power in our prayers, but I think it's part of the reason. We don't have time to just pray. And as I thought about this question, it also struck me that how many people are praying desperately, but there are no results. I'm speaking in the Christian world, in the among Christians, praying with no results. And it's because maybe they are not right with God. I think of I can't remember now if it was Elijah or Elisha, how the prophets of Baal were up in the mountain, they were praying, they were doing desperate things, praying and praying to Baal, but nothing. Nobody heard their prayer. And, you know, I don't think that Christian people are necessarily in that boat where they're praying, but there are many prayers being prayed that I wonder if God actually hears those prayers. And there's quite a bit of scripture actually to say that that we have to have a life that's right before God does hear our prayer. There are many times in our lives where we pray and pray for something, and it just seems like God isn't doesn't hear our prayer. We pray for a situation that doesn't change. Or maybe it seems like it isn't God's will, and it causes us to doubt, causes us to wonder whether God really does care about our prayer. Think of all the prayers that have went up for Saeed, and he's still bound in prison. And I think there are many more situations like that in our world. And it can cause people to wonder, why? Why do they... Does God not answer prayer? It can discourage people. You maybe heard this story, but there was a businessman that was not a Christian, and his wife prayed for him all the time that he would become a Christian. He would come to the Lord. And it just so happened that there was a man that met him and spoke to him about the Lord, and he became a Christian. And then he got in a car accident right after that, and went on. But she never knew this happened. His wife never knew, and she walked away from the Lord because she said God doesn't answer prayer. So she got so discouraged that God let him go without him becoming a Christian. And it was by her meeting this young man that had turned her husband to the Lord. A number of years later, that she repented, came back too, but she was so, as the story goes, she was so, it was very hard for her to overcome that she doubted the Lord and gave up serving the Lord because of that. But I think it happens today in our life today too. People become discouraged because it seems like God's not answering prayer. It causes doubts. I don't think that the doubt is so much that God answers prayer. At least if I evaluate my life, I always believe God answers prayer. But I sometimes doubt, I have a problem where I doubt, does he really want to answer that prayer, this prayer that I'm praying? Or I might feel like, you know, I really don't deserve for God to answer that prayer. And then there's also the aspect where God probably just wants to teach me. He wants me to learn something from this. And I think that's good for us to see that, to accept that, because I think it can be a good thing in our life to realize that God does want to help us to learn by delaying an answer of prayer at times. I have my notes a little messed up here. I'm sorry about that. But we should not grow weary in prayer. We need to let our faith grow stronger by going through those times that we have where God delays an answer. There are several verses in the scripture, and they're very familiar verses that we all know. How God talks about how he hears and answers our prayers. 1 John 3:22 says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." This verse says that God gives us whatever we ask, contingent on whether we are pleasing him or not. If we are pleasing God with our hearts and lives, then he promises to give us what we ask. And in John 15, verse 7, Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you." Again, Jesus promises us that he will give us what we ask if we are in him and his words abide in us, in our hearts and in our lives. Keeping his commandments and abiding in Christ, I see these actions as, these are a very important actions for us to have power in our prayers. Our prayers, Jesus promised that he will hear them, and he promised that he will answer them, and that they will have effect. So the first step to having God's ear, so that God actually can hear what we pray and what we ask, is to have a righteous life. To be righteous, to abide in him, and to obey him. And I know that seems very simple, but it just stood out to me as I was studying that That's where the power is. That's where the power is in our lives, is to have a righteous life. And when we come to God with anything, there's power there, and He hears. We look at other people sometimes, I have done this, where I see they can pray. Their words, the way they pray, it just inspires me. And I think they've got a connection with God. But it really doesn't mean that they do, just because I hear them pray. And you know, we can get maybe awestruck about it. But that really it doesn't really mean anything. The thing that I most often miss or forget in my own prayers when I pray is that it's not so much about how we pray or what we are praying for. It's more about the condition of our own heart while we're praying in our life. And because that's what makes our prayer effective and powerful. That's where the power comes from. It's from being righteous. To make our prayers effective and powerful, we have to be righteous. And I just like to, this came to me. You remember in the Bible, it speaks about how Daniel and his three friends were put into the fiery furnace because they didn't fall down and worship. And Nebuchadnezzar said, "Don't I see four men, not three, four men in there, and the one looks like the Son of God?" And so it just stands out to me that's how it is. Those three men were righteous, and God's presence was with them in a terrible time in their prayer. And I think that's the way it is for us as righteous people. When we are righteous, when our hearts are right, when we're serving the Lord right, God's presence is with us. It's with us here in our prayers wherever we go, but especially in our prayers. He hears them, and that's where the power of prayer comes from us being righteous. Our prayers become effective. And I read about, recently I read about, you may have read this too, there was a couple college young ladies that were in college, and one, they were boarding together. And the one girl was a Christian and the other was an atheist. And this Christian girl was trying so hard to get this atheist girl to believe in God. And they talked and prayed, and she prayed and talked. And one day she said, "You know, I believe in God. I believe the Bible is true." And but she would not give her life to the Lord yet, and she had been really working with this young lady to give her heart to the Lord. She's praying for her and just in her everyday as they were studying together. One night they were going back to their dorm from study hall, and the girl that was an atheist or had been an atheist said that she's going to take the shortcut through, there was a patch of woods because they were running out of time for some reason. And the Christian girl said, "No, I wish you wouldn't," because there had been a history of kidnapping and so forth going on there in the years past. And she begged her to go, but she wouldn't listen. So she just knelt right there and prayed. And then she said, "I'm going to go with her now." So she quickly ran through there, and they got to the dorm, and the atheist girl wasn't there. And she had been kidnapped, and they found her later. She was murdered and treated terribly. And this Christian girl had to come into court when they found the man and brought him to trial. And so they gave her, she wanted to know, she had some questions, and so she went to this man and she said, why did you, this girl that you killed was an atheist or had been an atheist, she was not ready to meet the Lord, and I was ready to meet the Lord. Why couldn't you just get me?" And you know, this, I read this, I don't know if this is all true, but I believe that this happens. And this old criminal said, "I didn't see when she came through, she was by herself. But when you came through, there was a big man with you, protecting you. And, you know, she had Jesus. She was righteous. She lived a righteous life. And Jesus was in her presence." I just want to bring out the point strongly that we sometimes underestimate how much a righteous life, how much effect it has, not only for our testimony, but in our prayer. That's where our power of prayer comes from. So if our prayers are not being heard, you know, probably our heart isn't right with God. And it seems that the world is full of many people who pray but are not living in righteousness like God wants. If you this morning want to have confidence and assurance that your prayers are being answered and effective, you know, it's so simple. But yet, I know it's maybe harder to do, but we just have to live righteously. We have to bring God into our hearts and live a righteous life. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 15, it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." And verse 15 says, "And then mine eyes shall be opened, and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place." And that's God saying that. God will hear our prayers. So the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And just really want that to stand strong in our hearts and in our minds this morning, of how much a righteous life is valuable and effective in our testimony, but in our prayers. That's where the power of our prayers come from. There's another aspect of prayer that I would also like to look at, more of the patient side. And we should not expect our prayers to be answered immediately. I know that it does happen, and I'm glad when it does. I like that. It feels good, and we feel encouraged. But that doesn't mean that it always will happen. We need to pace ourselves when we come to prayer. If we pray expecting God to answer our prayer immediately, we could be setting ourselves up for discouragement and despair. And we should pray. We should pray expectantly and believing that God answers prayer, but in His time and in His way. So when I say that pace ourselves in prayer, I'm saying that we should train ourselves to pray for a specific need indefinitely, believing and expecting, but trusting, not growing restless during the time that we see no results. That doesn't mean that God isn't hearing our prayer. We have to wait on God, wait on God's time to be answered. And sometimes that's very hard to do. Warren Wiersbe said that the ability to calm your soul and wait before God is one of the most difficult things in the Christian life. And our old nature is restless. The world around us is frantically in a hurry, but a restless heart usually leads to reckless life. And so that's why we need to pace ourselves in prayer. You know, we sometimes get into mode of prayer and we are expecting and we expect things to happen now, and then they don't, and we just become discouraged too quickly. So I want to encourage us to not give up or become discouraged too quickly. It's very hard to keep consistently praying when it seems like nothing is ever going to change this certain situation. And I believe that that's part of waiting on the Lord, and I think that means that we should not distrust God when it seems that our prayers are not being answered fast enough, but continue to trust Him to answer our prayer in His time and His way. And you may turn with me, if you like, to Luke 18. I'm going to read a short passage of Scripture there, the first 8 verses of Luke 18. This is a story of how Jesus just brought out a little comparison in a parable of how much that He does want to answer our prayer. Jesus does a very good job He does the best job of anybody in the whole world of bringing out a point, and He brought it out very clearly in this parable. Luke 18, verse 1. "And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men always ought to pray, and not to faint. Saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, And she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I must stop there. But this little passage just is brings out the point of, brings out a lot of little points, but the one little thing that I like about this passage is how much the comparison he makes about the person, the judge that doesn't care about God, that he's going to get rid of this nagging widow of coming to him, and he doesn't want to hear her complaint. So rather than try to deal with it or do anything, he's just going to go, and so he doesn't have to listen to her anymore. He's just going to go take care of what she's asking. He's going to go take care of it right away. He doesn't want to hear this very much longer. And so Jesus is saying in this parable, partly of what he's saying, is that how much more God, who loves us, who created us, cares for us, how much he wants to answer it right away. He wants to take care of it as soon as he, you know, he hears our prayers. He wants to answer right away, speedily, it says. And I just think that's a good thing for us to see. There's hope here. And Jesus is, in the last verse, he said, how much faith will he find? So then I get the point there that he wants us to keep trusting, keep praying. Don't give up. And even when it seems hopeless, keep praying. And I enjoy looking at statistics to see how things actually go or what generally happens in a certain situation. If you go back at statistics, you can look and you might say, you know, typically someone who has been doing this for this long, so-and-so, there's no hope. You know, there's not much chance there. But we have to remember that God doesn't work under the influence of statistics, which I'm very glad. And I'm afraid that too many times in our lives, we are influenced by them, and especially when it comes time to pray for hopeless situations, or that seem hopeless. There really is no situation hopeless, completely hopeless, but they do seem that way. In this passage, it says to continue on in prayer. Don't give up. And I have prayed for certain things in my life, and I know you have too, where we prayed hard for them, but I burned out really fast because it didn't seem like there was any results. It seemed like the situation wasn't going to change. And so we just sort of quit praying about it, just let go. And I don't think that is correct. I think if we know those are needs, spiritual needs, if we know those are things that are that need to change, we need to continue on praying. Lift them to the Lord. He hears them. Doesn't mean he's not answering because there's no results. God still lets the choice up to the people that need to change. God wants to answer all our prayers, but sometimes there are things that we need to learn first, or it's not God's time. He wants to accomplish other things with the situation. We need to keep praying, trusting him. So, in looking what I've shared so far, I believe that righteous people many righteous people underestimate their prayers. They underestimate what their prayers are doing, and they lose faith in their prayers. And I just want to encourage us this morning to not do that. You know, if we're living with God, how God wants us to live, and our hearts are right with God, we need to be praying more. Our prayers are worthwhile. Our prayers are being heard, and they avail very much. It says it in the Bible on numerous occasions, and I believe it. And I don't think that the righteous people here or in the world are praying enough. And I think when it comes to, and I'm convicted myself, I want to challenge each of us to pray more. When I think of, when it comes to the needs of our church and my family, maybe I offer enough prayers. I wouldn't say I do. But I feel, you know, in my own life, I need God's divine intervention, and I believe we as a church feel that way. But I'm convicted, and I want to encourage each of us to pray more for the needs of other people outside of our little circle. You know, there's Christians who are suffering for their faith in the entire world, and they all need our prayers. They're going through struggles and things that we don't know anything about, that we can hardly imagine. And I might remember to pray for them, I don't know, I'm embarrassed to say, maybe once a week. But we should pray for them often. You know, we can't really see the results of our prayers when we pray for them, maybe. So we get discouraged and we forget about them. But we need to remember that the presence of evil is very strong in the persecuted Christians, of how they're being treated. We need to pray for the leaders of our country, of the world. There are many decisions that are being made that are just simply guided by money. There's no principle involved anymore. It seems that way. We need to pray. We need to pray for those needs. And the righteous people need to be praying more, because their prayers are very effective. They have a lot of influence on what goes on in the whole world. Missionaries need our prayers. Not only our own missions, but missions all over the world are spreading the gospel. And, you know, it's good that the righteous people, that we go to mission field, because it's the most practical way to spread the gospel. But they need our prayers. And we can have a ministry of prayer right where we're at. We don't have to go anywhere. We can pray together for many needs in this whole world right here. And pray for our own needs and lift these things up to God. He wants to answer theirs. He wants to hear them from us. I believe we should pray for our own needs, because I know that we have them here. But I really want to challenge us to expand our prayer ministry in an individual way and in a collective way, to really bring in, there's so much that is needed in this world. And I think the Christians of the world are failing more and more. And maybe even us in our church here. I don't want to say that critically, but I think there's more room for us to believe in our prayers and to embellish on them and pray more. Get together and pray often. I'm not putting this challenge out because I want to chew us out or say that we're doing so wrong. I'm thinking of my own life mostly. I really need to pray more myself. I know I do. And I know some of the youth have been prayer walking on Sunday mornings, and I like that. I commend you for that. I don't know how much really any of you pray. I know you, but I don't really know, you know, how it is in your life really. So I hope you can hear this as an encouraging way. I'm not trying to put us down. But again, I believe that that there are many of the righteous people are not praying enough. And why are we not? And I think it's because we are just, it's very simple. We are too occupied with other things, or we just don't take the time. So bringing this message maybe to a little bit of a close, just want us to remember that we don't want to underestimate our prayers. There is a lot of power in our prayers of the righteous man, of the righteous person. Says that it avails very much. And if you should say this morning, well, I don't know if I'm righteous, well, I hope this can encourage you to get your heart right with God. God doesn't hear the prayer of the unrighteous. I believe that's true. But he does hear those who seek him. And John Bunyan said, and it's sort of like a cycle, he said, prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. And I believe that. So, you know, if you want to pray and you feel like your prayers are not going to be heard, then I'm not talking about doubts. I'm talking about if you know that there's something in your life or heart that is restricting your prayers, seek God. He wants to forgive you for that and get your prayer so you can pray to Him. And, you know, spending that time with God will help you to keep you from sin and stay out of trouble and whatever the struggle you might have in your life. I have one poem I want to read here yet before I close, and then we'll close. This poem says Travel on Your Knees. And Sandra Goodwin, I don't know who she is, but she's the one that wrote this poem. Last night I took a journey to a land far across the seas. I didn't go by boat or plane. I trusted on my knees. I saw so many people there in deepest depths of sin. And Jesus told me I should go, that there were souls to win. But I said, Jesus, I can't go and work with such as these. And He answered quickly, yes, you can, by traveling on your knees. He said, you pray, I'll meet the need. You call, and I will hear. Be concerned about your lost souls, of those both far and near. And so I tried it. Knelt in prayer, gave up some hours of ease. I felt the Lord right by my side while traveling on my knees. As I prayed on and saw souls saved and twisted bodies healed, and saw God's workers strength renewed while laboring on the field. I said, yes, Lord, I have a job. My desire, thy will to please. I can go and heed thy call by traveling on my knees. So just want to challenge us this morning to not underestimate our prayers of the righteous man. You know, selfishly, sometimes I think that we live righteous lives and we care about our needs, our immediate needs, our church's needs, and those are important. And I don't think we should forget those. Sometimes they're greater than we can even imagine. But I think that we need to, I just want to challenge us again to pray more and to pray about all of those other things in the world that need our prayers. The world is suffering more because of the lack of prayer from righteous people. And so I just want to leave that with us. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Lord, just want to thank you for this day and thank you for